Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Alan Bartolome graduated from Waipahu High School and from Southern California College. Graduated with a business degree there from Southern California College. After that, he returned home to Hawaii and started working with the youth ministry at Bethel Chapel. It was a couple of years later that he and a group of friends started a band called Skanabara that played venues all over Oahu and got to play on Maui and Kauai and even a few venues on the West Coast. It's a story of God's working in his life. And when God works in a person's life, there is always hope in the midst of challenge. And that's why we paused at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to do just that. Encourage you in knowing that whatever challenge, whatever difficulty, there is always hope in Jesus, who loves us so much, he died on the cross for our sins. He shed his precious blood on the cross to wash our sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ calls you, dear friend, calls us to himself. And if you haven't opened your heart to Jesus, well, it's our hope and our prayer that you would today, this moment. Working with youth leaders from churches, a movement called Unashamed was born while Alan Bartolome was serving in Maui. Currently, he serves on the pastoral staff at Bethel Chapel Assembly of God in Waipahu and works with his wife and others in the brewery and Ya Roots ministry. He also works with anti-trafficking in a nonprofit organization, Made in Hope. He travels for missions often to the Philippines, and he even surfs in the Philippines. Alan is married to Donna Mae Silva. They have a 3-year-old son, Clive Samuel. Alan, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor Danny. I appreciate it so much. Awesome.
Alan, how did you and Donna get the name Clive Samuel?
Well, one of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia and stuff like that. And C.S. stands for Clive Staples.
Yes.
But my wife wasn't going for Staples. So she came up for with Samuel. And so that's how we got. We still got the C.S., Clive Samuel.
So maybe one day in the distant future, you're going to see us a writer. And if you see the writer whose name on your book or on your iPad or who knows what kind of technology it would be, and it says C.S. Bartolome, well, you can say you heard his father, Alan, on the Good Life radio program. Alan, you mentioned growing up in Waipahu.
Mm-hmm.
Your family name is very well respected there because of your... Well, why? Tell me about that and the connection to your family heritage.
Oh, cool. Yeah. My dad is Pastor Chris Bartolome. He's started Bethel Chapel close to 50 years ago in Waipahu. When Waipahu was still burning sugar cane and the black snow would fall every now and again from the sugar cane. So he started the church there almost 50 years ago, and we've just been involved, not just within the church walls, but involved in the community, watching Waipahu grow and just following the Lord's lead as he led my father to stay involved and stay relevant in the community. And though many years have passed, but we're still involved and trying to just impact our community. They're doing different things. And my father, he says, yes, go ahead, whatever you feel led to do, the church will back. And so we'll do different things from painting over graffiti, something simple as that, take the young people out and just paint over graffiti to buff it out. And also not just doing that, we had the opportunity to bring in the group called Iron Sharpens Iron, and also Gospel Graffiti, and they buffed out a wall and created a huge mural, Red and White Apollo. And so just staying involved in the community, staying keeping our ear to the ground in the community, and just doing what we can over there, and working with other churches that are in the White Apollo community. There's a lot of churches there, and my dad, Pastor Chris Bertone, always like, oh, let's get involved. Let's join in what the Lord is doing.
So. Pastor Chris is one, when I think of him, I can envision his face. It stirs a great deal of respect and admiration for who he is and how God has used him and his life of faith. Alan, how would you say your father influenced you?
Oh, wow. Very much so. Lots of spanking, which is good. No, just kidding. But lots of a correction. Even being a pastor's kid, we're not all perfect, and we're human just like everyone else. But his continual guidance and love and just pointing always towards the Bible, always pointing to Jesus, to grace, and to holiness, and just recognizing that people do make mistakes, but he's always there to teach and love along the way. And so just his example of wanting to see the gospel spread, just not just in our family, not just in our community, but even across the world. Just watching him just do ministry, live life, and that's really impacted me. And so that's why I think I'm in the church today. That's why I enjoy traveling and ministering the gospel today, doing missions and whatnot. And so... but also learning from some of his negative experiences, and him being open about that, has allowed me to recognize that there are some shortcomings in me that I need to recognize. But just recognize that it's through our weaknesses that God is God's strength is made whole. And so just watching him and seeing him, and also my mother as well. My mother is a teacher. Which is funny. So now I'm also a substitute teacher and work in the church as a pastor. So I've gotten influenced by my father and my mother in that sense, in that respect. So,
what do you like about teaching?
The kids. Yeah, the kids. Just the interaction with the kids. In fact, I worked yesterday and we do the lessons and those are necessary. And those are great, but just watching them grow, letting them take leaps or bounds, or even just baby steps. But just watching the kids grow, but also the interaction and the conversations and the openness and innocence that they have, it's inspiring, because a lot of times as adults we like to put things away and hide things and not necessarily say vulnerable, but just allowing the kids to be innocent, and that's beautiful to me, you know. That's fun.
Well, you're radiating. You know, if it was a television program, our audience would see that you have some bright white teeth.
I would have dressed up better. I would have wore a tie.
Oh, that's the blessing of being on radio. You know, you want a tie? We can talk about you having a tie. We can envision and imagine all kinds of things here. It might be assumed that someone grows up in the church, or dad's a well-respected pastor, parents are pastors of a leading church in their area, and really planting churches all across the Philippines, a vast ministry, 50-plus years, that you would automatically, so to speak, you know, become a Christian. Assumed. But perhaps we shouldn't assume. And so I ask you, Alan, how did you become a believer in Jesus Christ?
My experience is like different steps or different levels along the way. When I was young, I say about 7 years old, I think, I remember watching a movie in the church, and it was about the end times and, you know, that whole message. And so I was kind of scared to go to hell. So my first experience of receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior was fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. I was 7 years old and I was terrified. Oh, I don't want to. And so that was one thing that's a very important message that I needed to hear. But I did it. My spiritual journey didn't stop there. You know, I went up and down as a kid. You grew up in the church, and you know how to do different things. You know how to say amen and pray, and you know how to do different things. But the next level, I guess, of reality in my relationship with Christ, or maybe the area that I needed to work on, was when I was in high school. Then I understand a little bit more about a real commitment to Christ, not just wanting to follow him to stay out of hell, but just to be in a relationship where there's so much more to God, there's so much more to Jesus, there's so much more in our relationship where we can actually experience good things and pleasure.
Let's talk and joy. About that.
Yeah.
Because now you're a teacher,
yeah,
in the public school system, right?
Mm-hmm.
But reflecting back on those teenage years, how did you come to that awareness, begin to realize there's greater depth?
Just through the encouragement of people in the church and in my family, leaders in the church, just trying to relay to me the message that it's not just about staying out of hell. There's so much more. And so slowly by slowly, I would listen. I would, you know, read the Bible when I'm supposed to, and listen to the sermons and the messages. And so I recognize that we serve a loving God, a God that loves us and that wants to be in relationship with us. And so my commitment or my to Christ and to the church wasn't just not to do bad things, but that there's joy in service, there's joy in family and ohana.
It must have been a joy for your parents to see that transformation. I don't want to overuse the word, but it's just that. It's like seeing your son becoming open to things, a depth that God is allowing to happen or even enabling him to experience. Let's talk further about that. I think it's quite a unique experience, and certainly an encouragement to a parent who is praying and wondering, God, when is my son? When is my daughter? When is my grandchild gonna begin to open up? I've been praying for years. Yeah. I've been praying for months and hours. And when we come back, Alan, let's talk about that part of your journey and how the Lord used that to open up other doors for you in your life. Alan Bartolome is in studio today. He's the middle of three boys, the middle child. You wonder, the middle child is special. That's a special placement in the line of children. We'll talk about him and what difference it made him being that middle child when we come back. More with Alan Bartolome.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He was part of a group called Skanabara. He played in venues all over Oahu, got to play on Maui, Kauai, and on a few venues there on the East Coast. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm speaking of Alan Bartolome. Alan is a pastor at Bethel Chapel Assembly of God, where his parents were the founders of that great, grand ministry that continues to expand today. Skanabara. You ever wonder what does that mean? That sounds like, well, at least in Hawaii, it could have various connotations. But I want to get to the heart of the matter here. You're listening to The Good Life, and you can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Okay, how did you get that name?
It was just a group of guys. Ska is a type of music that we were playing, and here in Hawaii, Hanabara, I guess it means snot or mucus from the nose, I guess. And so all of us were friends since Hanabara days. That's a term to like when we were kids.
Right. Childhood days.
Right. So we're like, oh, wow, let's just put Ska and Hanabara together. So we came up with Skanabara. But the full name, but we hardly ever used it, but it was Super Skanabara Satan Butt Kickers. Oh. And so we were a fun ska band that we played with bands like Engine 9 back in the day here in Hawaii, Joska, and a whole bunch of other bands back in the day. Over at the X Factory, I don't know if you remember the X Factory in Kalihi Valley.
So. What kind of music is ska?
Well, the type of ska that we were playing, it's like a cross if you take reggae, punk music, and like a fast reggae, I guess. And like almost like Jawaiian. You take all that and just kind of mush it all together.
Blended.
Yeah, and then, you know, with punk music and all kinds of, yeah, we did all kinds of crazy things with it. So we even had rap in it. And
very popular. Yeah. And,
yeah,
you know, the music industry is very dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's always changing.
Yeah.
And the life is dynamic in that respect, too.
Yes.
We go through changes. You've always kept a connection with young people and a youthful spirit, I should say. God has given you. As we spoke before break, you were talking about learning, realizing that there's more to life than just spiritually getting fire insurance.
Right, right.
How has the Lord led you through the years from your high school days? How have you grown spiritually from then?
Well, you know, it wasn't always perfect. There were struggles along the way. I was a typical teenager. I was, you know, wanted relationships or, you know, different things like that. But, you know, I guess through the prayers of my father and my mother and just the guidance that I was always still connected to the church, no matter what kind of trouble I got myself. I remember we had a little barbecue last night and we were playing cards. And I told him the story about when I got detention for a week for gambling in high school. And so while I was walking with the security guard from where I got caught to the office, I could hear people saying, hey, isn't that a pastor's kid? Hey, doesn't that guy go to church? And I said, oh my goodness. And so I began to recognize that my life wasn't just for me, that people are watching, and that I needed to put forth a better witness. And so That was further transformation from understanding, okay, fire insurance to God loves me. There's so much more I can get to. I need to be a better example because, you know, people are watching me. And so this is just another step, I guess, in my walk with Christ. The more that I opened up, the more that he showed me. I like to say that I knew about God's love, but I learned even more when I got married. It just opened up a whole other realm and understanding and revelation of love, how God can love me. I was amazed that my wife would love me despite of all my brokenness and who I was and my shortcomings, that she would still love me and say yes. And then that just reminded me or even showed me how much more God loves me, even because he knows every little secret and little thing about me. And so it was just amazing to have that revelation. God loves me even though. God loves me even though. And so that was just another realization of God's amazing life that he has for us. And then a few years later, my son is born, and the love as a father that I feel for my son opened up another type of revelation of, wow, the type of love that I have for my son, imagine the type of love that God has for me, because God is my heavenly father. And you know, my son Clive will never stop being my son. He could mess up, he could do whatever, but he'll always be my son. And just show me the message of grace that no matter what I do, as long as I come back to Christ, he'll always receive me, you know. And so that was another transformation, I guess, in my spiritual walk. And so much more. It's just so much more. I think the more that I allow myself to open up and receive whatever the Lord has for me, not picking and choosing what I want, but just letting him reveal to me, it's really allowed me to grow, I guess, you know.
You're the middle child.
Yeah. A neglected middle child.
Some people say, you know, there's a middle child syndrome. What is that? What was it like for you?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a joke. I don't know if it's real or not, but they say the middle child is neglected because the older child gets to do everything first, and the younger child is the baby, so he gets spoiled or she gets spoiled, and the middle child gets left behind. But that wasn't true in our family. It was great. My brother, he's a fireman here on Oahu, and my younger brother, he's teaching English in Japan. And so we're all three boys, and you know, we have a great relationship. We don't you know, talk deep things. It's because our relationship doesn't have to be about, you know, talking about the little nitty-gritties and stuff. We just love each other. We got each other's back, and we love hanging out and stuff. And so we love surfing together when we're around and stuff. So it's great. It was great. I remember, though, some different times of people stealing my ice cream from the freezer, you know, because you get six ice cream bars in a box back in those days, and you get two each. And I remember going to the freezer, mine's missing. Hey, who ate my ice cream? And so we disagreed, and we had our spats. But if anyone tried to come between us, we got each other's back, I guess.
Good. Yeah. Talking about ice cream, I'm the youngest of four.
Oh, okay.
And I always say I grew up like an only child because I was like a surprise child, right? Mm. I came 8 years after my older sister, and my parents had it all planned, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, and 8 years later, here I come, right? So I was a mama's boy, and I would have my ice cream, but I was a kid who would eat all the ice cream, all six. And then I put the empty box back in the freezer. My sister would go, hey, who put this empty box back
in there?
Now, the Philippines.
Yeah.
You travel there a lot. You have churches that your ministry, your father's ministry, parents' ministry have planted many, many churches. Where are they located throughout the Philippines?
So my father started Bethel Ministries International. It's the missionary arm of Bethel Chapel. He focuses a lot of the work in Ilocos Norte, Ilocos Sur area, which is the northern part of Luzon in the Philippines. That's where a lot of the people that come to our church, they're from the Ilocos region and stuff. But since then, we've also been open up to the southern part of Luzon, so we've opened up to other areas. And then there's even a couple of ministries that are in other parts of Asia. Mm-hmm. And so My father, you know, his example of going to the Philippines, he even brought us a few times to do ministry, has stuck with me. So since 2001, I've been to the Philippines at least once every year, and doing different things, doing ministry with young people. And this past time, I was just in the Philippines in October with my wife, and we got to participate with a medical mission, a church, a youth conference and camp. And they're just different things, visiting churches and just encouraging the people there. And so,
What's it like? Ahead. What's it like, Alan?
Oh, it's awesome.
The conditions there.
Oh, okay. So, it's all different. In Manila, it's like a big city. You have beautiful high rises. You have malls that are 5 stories tall that make Alajuela Center look tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And,
people.
Right. So you have that, and then right next to that, or right across the street, you'll see homeless people, you'll see the slum areas. And so it's a total difference in classes, and it's right there. And so we just seeing they don't have medical care like we have here in America. In fact, you can't get anything unless you show the money first. You can't pay later. It's show me the money first. And so there's a lot of need, even for simple things like dental care. You know, here in Hawaii, we can save teeth. We can do operations. There in the Philippines, in some of the areas, they just yank them out because it's too much pain, you know. And so we were part of a medical mission where, you know, one of our young people is holding someone's head, like holding his mouth open just so that the dentist could get in there and do the work. So it's really bad. There's a lot more. There's a lot other places that are worse than I've been in the Philippines. But I'm sure, it touches your heart. You realize that I have everything here in America. I go to other places of the world and they have absolutely nothing. If I'm hungry, I can open up the fridge. Nothing in the fridge. I can find a dollar and, you know, get a sandwich somewhere. And the Philippines, there's nothing. There's no fridge. There's no McDonald's. There's no nothing nearby. Mm. You know, some of these areas. So,
yeah, we do take it for granted. Whether it's 2 tacos for 99 cents at Jack in the Box,
right.
You know, a dollar goes a lot further, even still, in the Philippines.
Yeah.
What if you don't have a dollar? What if you don't have a quarter? What if you don't have a dime?
Yeah.
Literally, not a dime to your name.
Yeah.
We're not just pulling on heartstrings here. We're just talking. I mean, here's Pastor Alan. He's continuing to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, following the footsteps of his father, his parents, and spreading the love of Christ through church plants, through church ministries, training leaders, training pastors, providing medical, dental care in places that needs it the most. When we come back, we'll talk further with Alan Bartolome. You know, you can go and hear about pain or trouble. I can hear about it and not be necessarily moved because I'm so insulated in my own world. We get caught up in, some might call it navel gazing, where we just look inward to ourselves and our own lives. And perhaps today it's just a nudge for all of us to look beyond and what God would have us be a part of. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Bethel Chapel Assembly of God was founded by Pastors Chris and Marty Bartolome. Aurora Bartolome, and Alan is here. Alan is here. He's a pastor there also. And talking about the expansion of the ministry that they have is one that even reaches to people who are trafficked, sex trafficking, human trafficking. Chris, talk to us about the ministry Made in Hope that you're a part of.
Made in Hope was started by Chris Kanemura and Michelle Tolentino a few years ago. And it's an anti-trafficking organization helping to raise awareness about the issue of trafficking and also to partner with Samaritana, which is an organization in the Philippines, to help these rescued women you know, with their livelihood. They create jewelry, they create different things like that. And so Made in Hope hopes, Chris's line is to put the bling in hope. Mm-hmm. And so we sell jewelry and different things that the rescued women make. And so a lot of the times we forget that we can rescue the women, but unless we give them a livelihood and just help them, then they'll go back right into the lifestyle that they came from. Because that could be the only way that they make money. And so if we help them to sell the jewelry, sell some of the wares that they make, or give them another way to make money, then they won't have to go back to the life that they were living. And so it's not just about meeting their spiritual need, which is the most important thing, but also meeting their physical needs, their financial needs, and different things like that.
How did you get up to be a part of the ministry?
I was walking down one of the aisles at the hymn conference in the vendor booths, and so I ran into Michelle at the Made in Hope booth. And it's funny because I think it was the year before we were in the Philippines, and this is about 2010, I believe, around thereabouts. But every year I'd see foreigners with young Filipino girls, and whether they be from Europe or different parts of Asia, and it would affect me, but not to the point of doing anything, until one particular year we were waiting to check in our hotel lobby, and at the same time as we're checking in, we see some Japanese or some Oriental businessmen. I'm not sure if they're Japanese, because it could have been another Asian country, but they were sitting there, and as we're checking in, going through the process, a mama-san comes in with a few young girls, and I felt what I call the holy anger come up in me, because I wanted to do something physically. Of course, I didn't, but from that moment on, my eyes were open to see something different, but seeing the same thing, but seeing it in a different light. And so we wanted to get involved in the anti-trafficking however we could. My wife and I, we don't know how. And so we just started giving offerings to the different anti-trafficking agencies that we knew about. Started giving offerings because we wanted to put our money where our mouth is, not just, you know, talk about it. But and then that following year, I ran into Michelle at the Made in Hope booth. And I said, "You're who I'm looking for." And so we started a conversation, started a relationship. And of course, Michelle went back to the Philippines, and I met up with Chris a few months later, and we just clicked. It's like meeting an old friend. We sat down for hours and just started talking story. We were about the same age.
Yeah,
we have the same experience as far as our sons are born 2 weeks apart. And so we just clicked on just pretty much I bodyboard, and he used to bodyboard. I'm trying to get him back in it. But we just connected so much. And he expressed to me that he was looking for other men who have the same heart in this type of ministry, because it's mainly just women that are working in anti-trafficking. And so it was great. He expressed to me it was great for him to have another brother. And I didn't realize what that meant until I started getting involved. And it was great having another brother in that type of, when you're dealing with these types of situations.
What do you, when you say you get involved, how do you get involved?
So we started giving. We got to put our money where our mouth is. The Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we wanted to be proactive about that. Praying, and then also started getting the word out, just raising awareness to as many people as we can. Not everyone is going to get involved, but everyone can know about it and do something if they see something. And so we've been on a couple of trips with Made in Hope to visit different areas and see how we can get involved. We walk the streets in the Philippines, in the places where a lot of these girls are in. And so we're able to meet with some people, pray for the area, but also make a connection with some of the girls that are already rescued, knowing that, hey, we're praying for them, we're on your side. And so we build a relationship that way. And so they feel encouraged and empowered to go out and share the gospel, the way that the good news of the gospel, the way that they heard it with someone else new. And so that's one of the ways we get involved. We even went to Malaysia. Chris and I, we went for a conference in Malaysia, just to learn more, to see what else we can do, how else we can pray.
How bad is it? How bad is the problem?
Yeah, you know, it's over 27 million people are trafficked today in the world, whether it be sex slave or labor, for labor. So it's kind of snuck up on us. We knew it was there. We didn't know how big it was until a couple of years ago. But it's touched every single country in the world. There's not a country that's left untouched. It's here in Hawaii. It's here in America. It's all over the United States, Europe, Asia. It's all over the place where girls are, and not just girls, men and women, boys and girls are being trafficked either for labor or for sex. And a lot of these people, they don't know where they are at. you know, because they're shipped out to a new location and then they don't know how to get home. They can't speak the language, and all they know is someone's, you know, telling them what to do.
I wonder if one of our listeners today has ever seen someone, look someone in the eye, and when you look them in the eye, there is a complete blank, a lostness. You talk about a soul that is lost, no direction, a complete surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender to whatever someone is going to tell them. The will is robotic. Mm-hmm. There is no initiative other than to just do exactly as you're told. And from the standpoint of abuse, justice, I saw the stirring up, even as Alan reflected back on Mama Sang and a couple young girls along with her, and him going back to that very same feeling. But see, this is the reality that people live in, and again, we need to push through the barriers of our own insulation to come to grips with the reality of what people actually go through in life. Made in Hope, well, they're making a difference. And of course, the partnership with Bethel Chapel. In fact, you can find out more about Bethel Chapel, iambethel.org. iambethel.org. Alan, when you've seen a change take place, what is it that you, we got about 30 seconds or so before mm-hmm. our next break, but what did it do in you when you began to see a life change through the ministry of Made in Hope?
So encouraged. It's like getting refueled again. I want to do more. That our efforts are not futile, but it's actually pushing forward. And 27 million, that's a huge number. It's probably over 28 million now. But to see one change, it just relights your fire. Like, I need to do more. And, you know, it can be in regards to trafficking, or it can be in regards of just everyday life, just seeing teenagers, their life change. Oh, I want to do more. I want to give more. It could be kids. I want to do more. I want to give more. And so
seeing the light come back into their eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
You know, the light that is a reflection of feeling again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in trafficking, there is a detachment just for the sake of survival because things become so horrid, unspeakable. But to see the light come back in their eyes. We talk about light. We talk about hope. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Alan wants to bring the light of Christ to the Philippines, to Waipahu, wherever the Lord would send him. He really is, I would imagine, a proud. His parents, pastors Chris and Aurora, must be so proud of their son and their daughter-in-law. And CS, stay with us. We'll be back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. people like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Okay, IamBethel.org. IamBethel.org. You might have heard of the ministry IamSecond.com. Well, you can go to IamBethel.org. You can find out more about Bethel Chapel Assembly of God, is where Pastor Alan Bartolome is pastoring there, under his parents, Pastors Chris and Aurora Bartolome. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Thank you. Thank you, dear friend. Thank you for joining us today, spending this time with us. I want to go deeper, as we typically do. Alan, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, there's a couple of different times where, I mean, I thank God he's all there all the time. A couple of specific things, however. One of it has to do with our son, C.S. He's actually our second child. We experienced a miscarriage, which was huge for us because, before CS, because we were trying to have kids for, you know, I think it was 3 to 4 years, and we were just waiting on the Lord. And when we got the news while we were on Maui, my wife is from Maui, and so it was for Christmas, and it was, wow, this is what a beautiful Christmas present. A baby, finally, and we tell a few people, and we get back to Oahu to do some checks, and they say, oh, there's something wrong, and I said, well, don't tell me something's wrong, just, you know, tell me something's right, and oh, no, you need to go see a specialist, that's what our doctor says. And so I'm texting everyone, I'm calling everybody, somebody, hey, please pray, somebody pray. And, you know, we had some, we know a lot of different pastors, not just in our church or even in our network, but we know pastors from all over the island and even all over the state, and they began to pray, send messages of good news and blessing. But I remember just being in the room, and you know, the doctor showing us that where the baby's supposed to be, there's a hole, a puka, just a dark spot. And I don't know what to say. I look at my wife, and we just start bawling, we just start crying. And so in a matter of a week, we went from the most happiest time as a couple, we've been trying so hard to have a baby, to, why hast thou forsaken me, Lord? You know, I felt like Elijah in the cave, and that hole was my cave. I wanted to crawl in there. I wanted to look for the baby. So it was tough. We cried. We, you know, silence. We don't know what to say. And, you know, so many people are giving us well wishes, and it was uplifting. But after a while, it was like, enough already. I just need to mourn. And so they meant well, but it was so difficult. You know, when we're alone at home, my wife and I, we don't know what to say to each other because nothing that we can say would lift us up. We still went to church. We still did our devotions. We still read our Bible and stuff like that. But it was just a heavy spirit that was on top of us. And finally, it was recommended by someone to actually have a memorial service. And nothing big, just a period of time that you set aside to put this behind us. And so we even named the baby. We didn't know boy or girl, whatever, but we actually named the baby just to say, thank you, God, for this. As difficult as this may be, we rely on you. We need you. And so from that point on, it was still hard, but the healing process was already beginning. There was joy starting to come back again. We were strengthened again. We were encouraged again. And we don't know why things happened or why we had to go through that. But the following year that we would have to spend with our new baby, the Lord opened up different opportunities for us to travel. We traveled the most in that following year than we've ever traveled internationally, even to the mainland and different things, that getting involved in different ministries and allowing our horizons to be spread. And so I don't want to say that it was a good thing, but there's a little bit of understanding and revelation and why that happened. So almost a year later to the date, we find out that we're pregnant. And so long story short, we have CS or Clive Samuel running around, and we love every minute. I love what someone said, that sometimes a messy house doesn't say that you're messy people. Sometimes it says you have a kid. And so we have a kid and a messy house. And so
thank you for that reminder.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that today. And so does our dear listeners today.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have a child, then it could say, oh, we don't have a messy house because we don't have a child. But it was an understanding for us. Oh yeah, okay, the Lord bless us with a child. Should I talk about another?
Sure.
Okay. So thank God for that, for taking us through that. But one of the problems that a lot of men have is pornography and getting in that, and that's something that I had gone through as well. You know, I was a single guy, you know, and I followed as far as not having sex before marriage, you know, what the Bible says. But I turned to pornography at a certain age, and it's something that I went to church and I said, Lord, take this from me, God. And I didn't realize that I was trying to overcome it on my own. Serving in different capacities and in ministry and different things like that, but I still had this addiction, this struggle. And I'd say, look, why? You know, I want to serve you. I want to be perfect in this manner. But there's something that always drew me back. It wasn't even in the early stages of my marriage. It's like, oh no, Lord, please, I'm married now. I don't want any of this. But my wife helped me go through this and address that. I cannot do it on my own. See, I realized that I was trying to overcome pornography and that on my own power, through my own will. But then that's when I had to realize that only by God's grace can I overcome this. Only by total surrender to God's power and God's love and God's grace for Him to work and heal me through that I can overcome it. And
so many are secretly going through this.
Oh man, it's horrible.
More than we realize. Mm-hmm. How did Donna help you?
Oh, it was hard. It was so hard for me to admit. Mm. Not just to myself. I could barely admit it to myself. I'm supposed to be a man of God, and I'm going through this. But it's actually at a Weekend to Remember. I forget who does it, but it's a Weekend to Remember conference in Las Vegas, and they said to talk about something deep. And so we prayed, and the Lord said, okay, now we're going to talk about it. And so my wife was hurt. You know, it hurt her a lot. But again, the love that she had for me was to say, "I love you despite this, and we're gonna get this through this together." Mm-hmm. She encouraged me. She kept me accountable. She kept tabs on me, and it's not like she was controlling me. I wanted her to do so because we wanted to overcome this together and through the Lord's help. And then for me to just to realize, okay, that my wife is God's gift to me. Mm. That God loves me so much that He's given me her, and that she's more than what I need, you know.
Pastor Allen, we've got about a minute or so left.
Okay.
Would you pray for someone who is struggling mm-hmm. in this very area, and as God has worked through you, that God will work in their hearts as well, their life as well?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful and loving God. You mm-hmm. are a strong God, a most powerful God. And so I just want to lift up that individual that may be struggling with addiction to pornography, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would love them and that they would allow you to love them, that they would have understanding that they cannot go through this or overcome this on their own, that it is only through your power, through your grace and the blood that you shed on the cross that we can overcome any addiction. And so, Lord God, I pray for encouragement for that individual that may be struggling with this issue. I pray, Lord God, that you will touch them and minister to them. Holy Spirit, will you meet with them right now?
Yes.
And I pray, Lord God, that they will have a community or a brother or a sister that can come alongside them, not judge them, but to love them through this and allow you to work in their life. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, it really is a gift, you know, when a dear brother in Christ comes and shares the marvelous things that God is doing and has done and continues to do, and even someone who will open up in an area that can relate and connect with so many in a place of that touches us and encourages us and builds us up. Pastor Allen, my brother, I'm very grateful for you. And as we close today, a parting shot, a word of hope to someone as we close. What would you say?
I say, hey, you know, life can be messy sometimes. But we can address the mess, whatever mess it is. We can address the mess and allow our mess to be a message of hope. Mm. As we allow God's grace to overcome whatever we're facing and allow Him to address the mess, then we, after healing, after going through it, we can let our mess be a message of hope to somebody else.
Our mess can be a message of hope mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ. I hope, dear one, that you've been encouraged by these inspirational thoughts, sharing heart to heart from Pastor Allen Bartolome. You can find out more at iambethel.org. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus. To help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 104:33 says, "I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Allen Bartolome. I am Bethel.org. And until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you.
The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.